All right, you are listening to We Decide, America at the Crossroads, a joint production of WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and the Pacifica Radio Network, composed of our sister stations, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in San Francisco, as well as over 200 of our Pacifica radio networks in 40 different states. So up next, we've got part three of our National Pacifica Radio Network, April 5th Hands-Off Protest Rewind, documenting grassroots America making history.
In this segment, we're hearing from KHOY in Des Moines, Iowa, KGNU in Boulder, Colorado, KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon, and Akaku Community Media Center in Maui, Hawaii.
This is Pat Schlarbaum in Des Moines, Iowa, for station KHOI in Ames, Iowa.
Here with Herman Kornbach, our senator. What's it mean to you to look out and see so many people? This hasn't even started.
I think people are pretty unhappy with the direction that the state and the nation are going, and we, the people, are going to be pushing back.
Mm-hmm. And the placards, probably the age of the crowd, looks to be a lot of wisdom in this crowd.
Well, I see a range of different people, but certainly the threats to Social Security and Medicare are motivating an older generation. But what the state is doing in terms of underfunding schools and denying rights of transgender kids, that's going to motivate the younger generation. I think we're all in this together.
Thank you.
Okay.
What brings you to the march today?
I'm tired of this administration taking advantage of all of the people, catering to the oligarchs and the wealthy people, not following the rule of law, all of those things.
Yeah.
Just fed up. Just fed up.
And of course, our radio listeners can't see, but you're sight impaired, but you're marching in the streets.
That's right. Yeah, we have to do what we have to do. Sometimes we got to sacrifice and make ourselves uncomfortable, but it's important because we need to save our democracy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's quite a march.
It is a big march. I've been doing these marches for maybe 40 years, and this is a really good one. And the signs are so diverse, that means that there's an awful lot of chaos that people want to address.
Yeah, so this is one of the biggest you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
What brings you out today?
Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
I'm believing the class warfare awaits Donis is a little too much for me, so I'm out here.
Yeah.
I've served my country and did my time. I think they should just keep, what's the word, this class warfare out of politics. We need to get rid of Citizen United for all you media people.
This is Pat Schlarbaum in Des Moines, Iowa, for station KHOI in Ames, Iowa.
Crescent City, California is a small fishing village of just about 5,500 people near the Oregon border. It's the gateway to the iconic Redwood National Park and also home to the Pelican Bay Maximum Security State Prison, where just about a third of its population resides behind bars. It joined countless other coastal communities today in a protest over the actions of Donald Trump and Elon Musk and their administration. Around 300 protesters gathered along Interstate 101 to express their dissent.
Protect your rights! Protect your rights! Protect your rights!
We are here to show that we are the 80% and we have power together in solidarity and unity against the insanity of the Trump administration.
This is one of the biggest gatherings Crescent City has ever had, I believe. And we're hands off of our Social Security, Medicare. I mean, this is a wonderful day for Crescent City. Biggest crowd ever. I'm Janelle Covault.
Kevin Malone.
So you are Crescent City residents.
We are.
Yeah. Yeah. And is there much of an activist community here in Crescent City
overall? It's growing. It's growing. By the minute, it's growing.
How would you describe the politics of the town in general?
Red, red, very red, but changing.
It's red, but it's changing. I'd say we're moving towards purple.
I think, yeah, we're moving towards purple. Exactly. Okay.
So how have any of the policies so far affected you personally, directly?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm worried about my Social Security, but there's a lot of grants that this city and county had that are now on hold. I mean, our harbor, we had big grants that were lined up for to redo the docks and retrofit the harbor, and that no one knows what's happening with those.
Some parks employees have already been fired. The tribes, who are a big part of our economy here, have lots of grants that may not come through and maybe having to let people go. Forestry, having to let people go. USDA loans, because it is an agricultural kind of economy, are questionable. Some are on hold. Some may have been canceled.
And with the prices going up from the tariffs, I mean, this is a very poor town. I think we are one of the poorest counties in California. And I think, I can't remember the exact number of how many people are on Medicaid here, but it's a really kind of a stunning number. And if they, if Medicaid is cut, then that affects local businesses. It's just, it's a nightmare, you know? It's an actual nightmare.
Well, our both hospitals, well, our open door clinic and the hospital will not survive if Medicaid gets cut. They're on the margins already. And the County Health and Human Service Department, there were cuts last week to DHS nationally, and they think they're going to have to let people go here.
The protests consisted largely of older and middle-aged white residents, which is statistically consistent with the demographic makeup of the community as a whole. But I did find one African-American who has lived and worked in Crescent City for over 30 years.
I'm here because my 401 has tanked. I'm here because of all of the things that Trump administration has been doing to destroy America, systematically canceling everything from education to health, Social Security. They're literally destroying the fabric of America. Elon Musk, who was appointed by President Trump, he was not elected. Yet he wields an unyielding amount of power and authority over humans' lives, jobs, careers. This administration is destroying America, and they have to be voted out of office. That's what brought me out today. I will be silent no longer. I will join like-minded people who know this has got to stop.
Across the street, there were seven counter-protesters waving the standard Trump flags. One even held a large sign denouncing the children's education program Sesame Street, perhaps in response to proposed cuts to the public broadcasting service, Sesame Street's original home. As for any who may have initially supported Trump but are now feeling the effects of the administration's engineered economic turndown, Janelle Koval and Kevin Malone say they're welcome to join in future protests.
It's a big tent. Come aboard, you know. We're not going to hold it against you, you know. Just you made a terrible mistake. Sure, some people are realizing it right now. They're probably being educated by these signs. They're probably worrying right now, what's happening to my Medicaid?
Most of today's protests were organized simply with a call to action on social media, but in many towns, groups like Indivisible.org, MoveOn.org, 350.org, and the like plan to follow up with educational forums, and campaigns to pressure individual legislators are already in full swing. Reporting from Crescent City, California, this is Evan Davis for Pacifica Radio.
Thousands came together in Denver this past Saturday, April 5th, to speak out against the Trump administration and to find strength in numbers. They joined an estimated millions across the U.S. and around the globe for a national day of protest, initiated by the pro-democracy movement Hands Off 2025. Organizers are calling Saturday the largest day of collective action since Trump officially took office back in January. Many of the Colorado-specific protests, including the rally and march in Denver, were organized by the state's 50501 movement in collaboration with a number of other social movement groups. People of all ages and backgrounds rallied outside of Denver's Capitol building starting at noon. They collectively called out the federal government by drawing attention to a number of issues with colorful signs and straightforward chants. Many local organizers and community members addressed the crowd over the course of the first hour and a half of the protest. Here's Ian Thomas Tafoya, the Colorado State Director for Green Latinos, a national environmental justice and conservation organization made up of Latinx leaders.
They keep talking about government efficiency. It's not efficient to do the same thing over and over and over again, because that's what these rollbacks are. It's not efficient when you don't have clean air or clean water and they're stealing your American dream. So I want you to remember something that we chanted today. Si se puede! Si se puede! Si se puede! Si se puede! Si se puede!
Luna Baez also took center stage on the Capitol steps. Luna is the 21-year-old daughter of local immigrant activist Jeanette Vizquera, who was forcefully detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, outside of her workplace in Denver without a valid deportation order on March 17th. Here's Vizquera's daughter, Luna.
I think we can all come to an agreement that the reason she was targeted was because she chooses to exercise her First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing this sort of barrier where people think that everyone's fight is exclusive and we can't all come together towards the same thing, because we're all under attack under the same people, under the same administration.
Yeah.
Vizquera's detention has sparked outrage from community members across Colorado, who see it as one of Trump's many recent attempts to deport immigrants without due process. Denver Mayor Mike Johnson recently denounced her arrest as the, quote, Putin-style persecution of a political dissident. For many people at the protest, Trump's attacks feel incredibly personal. Shelby Hoving is a Colorado resident and was one of many folks at the protest with a disability. She has lupus and an immunodeficiency and has been disabled since she was 18. She attended the protest in her wheelchair, which was artfully decorated with protest signage. Hovind is on both Medicare and Medicaid and says she relies on those systems to help pay for the drugs and treatments that keep her alive.
If I were to lose both of them, then I definitely wouldn't be able to get anything. And so there's just no way I would be able to survive. I legitimately would end up in the hospital, probably with sepsis. And I'm just kind of taking it day by day and watching the news. And so I came out here because I need to fight for that.
I asked Hoving what she thinks it'll take for people to care and protest like she does, if they aren't already. She told me that she thinks people, more often than not, mobilize only once they feel directly under threat.
I think with Trump and the way things are happening, until people start being unable to afford their groceries and, you know, they don't have their health insurance and they are having people around them disappearing due to the government, I think that's what it's going to take. And that's really scary because we need people to pay attention now. Like, I've thought about, like, man, do I need to leave? And I can't leave because I'm disabled. Like, I can't work, so no country will take me. So I'm stuck here. I'm trapped. Whatever happens to this country, if we go under military rule, which is a real possibility at this point, I never thought I would say that. But, you know, I'm trapped here.
Chants filled the streets into the early evening in Denver, many focusing on the need for justice and solidarity now more than ever. Some of those chants were led by the youngest activists in the crowd. With KGNU in Boulder and Denver, Colorado, I'm Jackie Sedley.
We've got Alan Niven from KBOO Radio on the line from Portland, Oregon. What are you seeing out there, Alan?
Well, that crowd started at around 11:15. I estimated about 3,000. And by the time I got out of there, It looked like it was closer to 10 or 15,000. I asked some police officers that were doing street monitoring. They said they had no idea. So, and I tried to get up to a parking lot to get an aerial view, and it was so big, I couldn't see the end of it. So,
Wow. Is it in a certain part of Portland? Is it in a special part of
Portland? Yeah, we're down by the Willamette River in the Japanese historical square that commemorates all the Japanese. It used to be Japantown, and it got, of course, demolished.
So it's a section of town that is actually historically a place where immigrants lived.
Right.
So you talked about a little bit how big the crowd is. Who's there? Old people, young people? Oh, what's your sense?
Everybody, just whole cross-section, veterans, immigrants, workers, old people, young people. There were some really good speeches, too.
What do you think are the biggest issues impacting the community out there in Portland right now?
Well, healthcare is really big. There's a lot of Oregonians on, you know, Medicaid and Medicare, and also Social Security is very, very big. Education is really big, and you know, Oregon is kind of a white state, and so there's a lot of feeling that we need to do better. And I've been to a few town halls recently in the last month, and people were all very vocal about wanting to shut down DOGE, and you know, the cuts and firings are unsettling everybody. There's a lot of health science stuff that's done at OHSU here in Portland. And they're likely to lose grants, or are losing grants, and all these new rules and regulations about how they can't do DEI stuff. So I think veterans, there are some veteran signs, and nobody wants this kind of stuff that's going on.
Alan, what are your thoughts about the significance of this demonstration in Portland, Oregon today, which sounds like the biggest one we've seen in a long time? Like, what is your sense of how that might be impactful for the nation or the region?
Well, I hope it's impactful. I think it's, an indicator of growing awareness on how messed up Trump's policies are. And also, I'd like to point out that there were 10 protests around Portland Metro today. This was just the largest. They were all hands-off protests.
Wow.
There was some in Beaverton, Hillsboro, Forest Grove, Tigard.
That's all Marco, Portland Metro area.
St. John's, East Portland. There's like 25 protests, I think, in Oregon and Southern Washington today that are all hands-off, including the ones that I already mentioned around Portland Metro. So it's going to be take a while to assess it all.
All right. We're talking to Alan Niven. He's from KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Alan.
Sure. You have a good day.
Aloha. This is Adam Lightplay from Akaku, Maui Community Media and Public Access Station. Due to our time zone in Hawaii, we were probably one of the last hands-off gatherings held in the United States. It was definitely one of the largest rallies or protests that I've ever seen on this island. Estimates indicate that well over 1% of the population of our small three-island county turned out Saturday to line the sidewalks for nearly a half a mile along one of the major boulevards in Kahului. It was a diverse crowd, mirroring the racial diversity in Hawaii, but you could probably say it was skewed towards women and older people, many boomers and flower children that appeared to have been through this at least once before. There is definitely an upbeat, friendly mood through the crowd, with much sign waving, horn honking, and people speaking their minds.
We're down here, this is Jimmy Mack down here at the Trump rally. Wish you were here. It is awesome. It is awesome. I can't tell how far it goes, but it goes a long way.
Justin Huey, co-leader, Indivisible. I counted, it was well over 2,000 people. We decided to do it in front of Whole Foods because we're against oligarchy. Oligarchy leads to tyranny. If Bezos is going to stop any critical opinions at Washington Post, then I'm not going to go there and grocery shop there. I'm not going to rent movies on Prime, and I'm not going to use Amazon.
Aloha. I think
democracy is being undermined and everybody's very busy and doesn't want to stress out their nervous systems. But it's really important what's happening, and we really do need to stand up for democracy. It's fragile.
I'm here because I care about the environment and I care about Maui. And here on Maui, the environment is our economy. And for Trump to pick a fight with Canada, who's our number two source of tourism in the state of Hawaii, and levy all these tariffs that are just making the economy crash, while at the same time gutting the EPA, I'm very encouraged that so many people have turned out to put a stop to what's going on. It needs to happen. Thanks so much.
I'm so proud of Maui to turn out for this event that we're coming together.
Yeah.
Look at the turnout here.
Look, the thing that gets me is the greed. The greed of these guys running our country right now. Musk, the most richest man in the world. And what's he do? Fire a bunch of people.
They don't have enough.
No compassion. No compassion.
They want to take from the poor and the needy to give to the greedy.
That's right.
Yes.
It's greed. They are addicted to greed. Don't. They have no compassion, no empathy.
I saw a sign that said, the only minority hurting us is billionaires. They're the best.
All the way from Chicago. It's a lot nicer out here to protest than in Chicago, but we definitely wanted to lend our voice from the mainland. Thank you.
We're here on Maui and we want to thank you all for showing up. Look at the amount of people. You have to stand up and say something, otherwise nothing will happen.
It's very impressive. I'm so proud of Maui. You know, we're standing up and we're standing together. This is what we need. It was a shot in the arm for all of us.
I'm here on Maui and this is fantastic. We're looking at about 2,000 people that are out here protesting Trump's policies, and it's time for America to stand up, Hawaii to stand up, and every single person out here and their friends and their families and their right-wing friends to get out and start protesting this regime. Thank you.
Trump has had 6 bankruptcies. He's a convicted felon, and we don't want him to bankrupt our country.
Trump is a liar and a criminal, and Musk was not voted in to be taking all of our Social Security or anything. Impeach Trump, fire Musk.
Make lying wrong again.
I'm concerned about all the disinformation that has been spread, the lies, and especially the hate that has totally made our country unsafe and divided us. You know, let's talk about it and try to really find out what is going on and what we all need to do to be able to talk to each other again and to be able to have conversations that are healthy and uplifting and going to motivate people so that we can live in a sane society again. Because personally, I think this is really pretty crazy that we've become so divided. So I hope you'll join me so that we can come together in peace and love and harmony and beauty.
Aloha, this is Layla. I'm from Maui for Palestine, and we're here to say hands off Gaza. We need to stop arming Israel. We don't support Trump's plan for Gaza. Gaza should be for the Palestinians. 50,000 have been killed in Gaza in the past year and a half. Hands off Gaza, we want peace.
Trump's last tax cut, 2017. It killed. They were starting construction on the West Maui Hospital. He started the tax cut and it got killed. The construction stopped because of Trump's last tax cut.
We need people and we really need you to get involved because this is just the beginning of great things to come, because we will win and we will not stand for this.
You know, like Obama said, it's going to take all of us to fix this. So this is the best way to do it. Nonviolent protesting. Demonstrating our right to protest, demonstrating our right for free speech. So it's a great showing. It's a great showing.
That was Pat Schlarbaum from KHOI in Ames, Iowa. Jackie Sudley from KGNU in Boulder, Colorado. Alan Niven from KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. And Adam Lightplay from Akaku Community Media in Maui, Hawaii. You've been listening to Hands-Off Protest Reporting from around the nation. I'm Lisa Loving with Pacifica Radio Network.
All right. Special thanks to Lisa Loving, Ursula Rudenberg, and Stephanie Schubert with the Pacifica Radio Network and the hundreds of local Pacifica reporters and producers who worked through the weekend to turn these dispatches around for you to hear them this morning. And of course, the millions of Americans who turned out to make a difference. This program is made possible thanks to contributions from unions representing 3 million households. Special thanks goes out to the American Federation of Government Employees, representing 800,000 essential federal workers in all 50 states. The Transport Workers Union of America, representing 150,000 workers in the mass transit, airline, rail, utility, service, higher ed, and service sectors. SEIU 1199, representing 450,000 healthcare workers. 32BJ SEIU, America's largest building service workers union, representing 185,000 workers in 12 states and Washington, D.C. The New York City Central Labor Council, the nation's largest regional labor federation, representing 300 unions and over a million workers, and a long list of local unions. Please check out our website, pacificanetwork.org, and use our station locator to find an affiliate near you. Thanks for joining us. Michael Haskins is our audio engineer and technical director. Bob Henley and Keziah Glow are our executive producers. We want to hear from you, and you can always write us at gm@wbai.org. One more time, you can always write us anytime at gm@wbai.org. The Pacifica Radio Network is composed of WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFK in Los Angeles, and KPFA in San Francisco, as well as 210 affiliate community radio stations located in over 40 states. My name is Jenna Flanagan for the Pacifica Radio Network. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will speak with you again next week.
certain who will eat from the wells of disappointment where the women kneel to pray for the grace of God in the desert here in the desert far away. Democracy is coming to the USA.
You're listening to the Pacifica Radio Network, and we thank all so very, very much for their participation in that. Jenna Flanagan hosting the program. Thank you so much. Fabulous, Jenna. Fabulous job, Jenna, as always. Mondays at 9 a.m. And we certainly want to lift up our affiliates, the voices from around the country that gave you just a little bit of an understanding of the concern and outrage, really, around this issue around the country as we look at what is taking place with the financial markets globally. But really, what you got a flavor of is the voices of you.